Now, last year, when Republicans and Democrats in the US tried to negotiate a fresh agreement on spending, well, remember the shutdown? The federal government clamped down for weeks, the cost to the economy in the billions. Now, this time round, an agreement has been reached with little or no controversy, not even that much in the way of publicity. Yesterday, the House of Representatives in the US approved a $1.1 trillion spending bill, which will carry the government through until September 30. It's expected to clear the Senate on Saturday. So this outbreak of bipartisan goodwill, what's that all about? Or is it the proximity of the midterms, which is perhaps focusing people's minds on electability? Let's check some of these theories. The man with the answers, EJ Dionne, an expert in US politics from the Brookings Institution in Washington. EJ, welcome.
Good to be with you. It's a terrible thing for our country that passing a budget bill, which is usually a very boring thing that a government does, becomes international news after all our travails.
Well, you bring this on yourselves, I'm afraid, EJ.
I'm afraid that's right.
Well, what has changed? This was tipped as being a crisis point. We had an agreement after the shutdown to, yes, let's tide the country over until now, but there would have to be this vote, and it was anticipated that the fringes of the Republican Party would see to it that we were shut down again.
And the fringes of the Republican Party have shrunk, and they've changed their mind. This bill, which I think the Associated Press here put it well, the budget doesn't contain in-your-face victories for either side. And only 64 Republicans voted against it. It was passed 359 to 67. 64 Republicans voted no. 3 Democrats voted no. And so what you've got, I think, at this point are Tea Party Republicans who are going to hold to their hard line, but the bulk of the party believing two things. One is they still believe that they can run against the new healthcare law here, known popularly as Obamacare, and they don't want anything to get in the way of that issue. And they also know that the shutdown last fall really hurt them. And I think politically what you're seeing here is that House Speaker John Boehner, who essentially let the shutdown happen because he was under pressure from the right end of his Republican caucus, could now say, well, we saw how that turned out, didn't we? Republicans plummeted in the polls. And so now he and the rest of the Republican leadership can say to their members, we are much better off reaching compromises. If you see this from a conservative point of view, what Boehner can argue is, yes, this has about $45 billion more in it than we might have liked, but it's still a very, very lean budget. Democrats voted for it because they wanted to restore some of the cuts that would have happened otherwise. But it's hardly an enormous victory. They got some more money for things they care about, like preschool programs, a program called Head Start, some money for mental health. But they took cuts in the environmental agency. There isn't money in here for high-speed rail. So it's a mixed bag. No disastrous cuts, big increases. There's some money for infrastructure, not as much as Democrats want. There's some reasonable funding for our institutes of health, all the health research we do, but less than the Democrats wanted. It's that kind of deal.
A pretty good negotiated arrangement, but it shouldn't be underestimated, EJ, in terms of what this means for the transformation of conservative politics in the US, especially heading towards the midterms, that this is a significant victory for Republican moderates.
Well, it's or now I think it's fair to say moderate conservatives. But yes, it's a victory for a strategy that the old strategy didn't work. And we're going to have that tested in some elections coming up. I mean, there are 7 serious primaries being given that Republican senators face opponents for renomination from the Tea Party. I think most of those incumbents will prevail. If a couple of those go down, the Tea Party will say, see, we're here after all. But yes, this is a move to, if not moderation, then to governance. I think there is a sense in Washington that there were an awful lot of self-inflicted wounds on us, and that the economy, the economy's already been hurt by some of the cuts that we've already put in place. The recovery has been slowed. But I think Congress decided we don't want to hurt the recovery any more than it's already been hurt.
Now, just a final point before we leave, EJD, on the president is set to announce his nomination for a federal judge in his home state of Illinois, a significant and interesting nomination.
I'm sorry, tell me about that.
Oh, well,
I hate to disappoint you. I didn't know you were bringing up judicial nominations.
I aimed to surprise EJ.
I'll learn from Australia what's happening in Illinois.
Let me tell you what's going on. This is Stacey Michelle Yandel, and if she gets the gig, she could be the first ever African-American lesbian federal judge.
Well, you know, we are breaking, perhaps it's not as big news as it might have been, because we are breaking all sorts of barriers here, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays. I don't think you'll see opposition to her on the grounds of her identity, but a lot of Obama's judges have been opposed by Republicans on ideological grounds. As you know, the Senate Democrats changed the rules to make it harder for Republicans to block judgeships to demand supermajority. So she has a better shot than she would have had a year ago.
Well, I'm glad.
But I did not know this fact.
I'm happy
that you
brought it
reported
into your,
to me. So I should listen to ABC.
EJ Dion, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
EJ Dion, an expert in U.S. politics, of course, from the Brookings Institution in Washington, and RN Breakfast regular, 5 minutes away from 8:00.